Luke 12:49-56. I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I long for every heart to be already ablaze with this fiery passion for God. But first I must be immersed into the baptism of God's judgment, and I am consumed with passion as I await its fulfillment. Don't think for one moment that I came to grant peace and harmony to everyone. No. My coming will change everything and create hostility among you. From now on, even family members will be divided over me and will choose sides against one another. Fathers will be split off against sons and sons against fathers. Mothers will be against daughters and daughters against mothers. Mother-in-laws will be against brides and brides against mother-in-laws, all because of me. Jesus then said to the crowds gathered around him, "When you see a cloud forming in the west, don't you say a storm is brewing? And then it arrives. And when you feel the south wind blowing, you say a heat wave is on its way. And so it happens. What hypocrites! You are such experts for forecasting the weather that you are totally unwilling to understand the spiritual significance of the time you're living in."
Thank you. Good morning. You know, some messages, as they come together, you have certain feelings and you kind of have this anticipation or whatever. Today's is a challenge for me. Today is one that I hope and pray that you realize this is a message that is directly between you and God. So I want to kind of give that, not a disclaimer, but this is not one that we reach over and poke our mate or the person sitting beside us. This is not the one that we look around the room or we think of other people. This is the one that as I deliver this message, think of it as you. This is you and God having a conversation. I thank Bob and the team for their music, the songs, and staying connected to the vine is the subject, and the music brought us to that. If you would bow your heads. Loving God, as we embark on this message, God, I ask that you would use my voice to speak your words. But as I have mentioned, each person, think of it as it's truly directed to them. This is you speaking to them, I pray, not me, not anybody else. This is an opportunity to connect directly with you, to listen to what you have to say, for us to hear and to hear in our heart the emotion of what you feel, how you love each one of us. And God, I thank you, and I ask for your direction and your presence in Christ's name. Amen. Hopefully I haven't scared anybody off. Nobody got up during the prayer, so that's a good thing. The vine, staying connected, that's where we're at. And what does that look like? In the Bible, there are approximately 60 verses talking about the vineyards, more than 30 mentioning grape, and more than 200 references to wine. Vineyards appear to be a pretty big subject in the Bible. You know, we don't have a lot of grape vineyards around here. I think of one in Mulvane as the closest. But we just don't have a lot of vineyards. But they are a very prominent part of the agriculture in the world. There's different regions that you see them everywhere. And there is a real art to operating and maintaining a vineyard. They're frail. Fire can destroy a vineyard very easily. But the magnitude of what God puts in the vineyard. And we're going to pick it up in Isaiah 5, and we're going to read 1 and 2. "Let me sing, my loved one, a love song for his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it, cleared away its stones, planted it with excellent vines, built a tower inside it, and dug a wine vat in it. We think about what that is. He's invested in this vineyard. You know, it just didn't happen. There's an investment made, a wine vat. You might know what a wine vat is in a vineyard. It's a trough, and in most cases, it's a dirt trough that is dug out, and this is to hold the liquid, to hold what is the part of the process. It's also showing they're preparing for a harvest. They see it's not just planting and maintaining. They're prepared for a harvest. So in God's vineyard, as we're looking at this from Isaiah, this is a plan. He has put together rows of grapes, maintained on fertile soil. And he's anticipating grapes out of it and has a wine vat for that liquid. What steps are required to start a vineyard? And for most of you, a garden might come to mind. I know Howard has an extensive garden. He probably gardens bigger than most anybody in here. But there's a lot to putting together a garden, a vineyard. First of all, you got to have land. That's the first thing. You clear it of all the debris. And that can be rocks and stones, weeds. Who knows what all that is there? And then you prepare the soil and you fertilize it. You till it. I know years ago in a garden, I would add sand to that clay that we have in Rose Hill and just heavy material. But you mix it in and sawdust and fertilizer and just to try and get this soil just so. And you anticipate from that a crop. You keep working at it. You know, there's effort, there's time going into this resource of this vineyard or in our case, this garden. And when you have a crop and it comes up, you've done all of this work before you plant, but when you plant, then you're looking at what's it take, and you water it, and you look out, and you see, and the crops start to come up. And one of the things in the vineyard and in our gardens a lot of times, you prune. You cut off pieces of branch because it's not performing as it should. It's not what is needed. It's not there to grow to the potential that the vineyard keeper has done. Your garden, if you're maintaining your garden, and I've seen people prune and trim away pieces of plant because it's not performing as it should, because they want the part that does perform to do better, to excel. And if this dead weight is there, it hurts the whole product, the whole harvest. Isaiah is showing the purpose and powerful way that God prepared a place for his people. And that's the analogy. That's the prophecy. He took and prepared everything for Israel. And he was always looking to the future. He had Israel as a nation in mind. He had them as a people. And by implication, all of us in mind. He has prepared everything for us. He's giving us every need. God wanted the best for Israel. He wants the best for you. Regardless of your situation, he wants the best for you. He wanted them to trust him and rely on him. He wants us to rely on him and trust him. God wants the best for us. He will go to great lengths to make it so. As you think of your life, not anyone else's, your life, can you honestly look and say, Yes, God has went to great lengths in my life. He has made huge difference in my life because that's what it's there for. He wants the absolute best for us. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. A watchtower, a lookout. He's watching out, covering the vineyard. He doesn't want anything entering into that vineyard that could be destructive, even a fire. And a wine press as well. Again, he's looking for a harvest. He's expecting grapes. He's expecting a place to stomp the grapes, if you will, to have a product, to have an end result, to be a beauty of what he is looking for. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes. That's what he's looking for in us. But it yielded only bad fruit. And that's the story of Israel. We can lose our way. There isn't anybody in here that's immune to that possibility. God is also the protector, which Israel points out. But something happened and Israel lost their way. That's a possibility. That's the dark side of where we're going today a little bit. It's possible. How is it possible? It happened to Israel, and this is God that gave them everything. We live in our world, and God has given us everything we need. Picking it back up in Isaiah 5. Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. God had done everything for Israel. And they said no. What do you do with plants that don't produce fruit? You prune them. You pull them out. They're gone. Effectively, God took away the protection of Israel. That's the imagery of taking down the hedge, removing the protection, not giving water the nourishment to grow. You pluck them from the garden. That's what you do, so they don't rob the healthy plants. That's the point. You don't want weeds or a plant that is not producing to be in your vineyard or in the garden. You want producing, happy, developing plants. Plucking out the unhealthy plants is not our job. It's not our job to take anybody out. It is God's. God did this to Israel. Israel maybe have contributed, you know, they were contributors, but it was not their job. It was God's. You trim dead limbs off a tree so the tree becomes healthy. An orchard, someone that maintains an orchard, they will tell you all about taking out limbs that don't produce so that the tree can produce, whether it's nuts, pecans, whether it's fruit. Those things are maintained and they are treated as a valuable product. And they want the owner of that orchard or that vineyard or the garden wants produce, wants it to be all that it can possibly be. This isn't something that they do to be detrimental. This is something to do to help the process. You cut dead branches off a vine so the vine can produce better fruit. Same principle. Again, should God continue to provide protection and blessing to those who now live in contradiction to who he is? And that's a question. Living in contradiction, and this is where I want you to make it just you and God. You know your life. You know where you are. You know, understand you. I'm not talking to you and putting anybody down. This is you and God analyzing where you are. You know. Israel rejected the very one who made them a nation. They turned their back on the one who gave them everything. All because they didn't stay attached to the vine. Who's the vine? It's Jesus. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. If we don't stay connected to Jesus, what happens? Do we die? We can make an argument about what death is in that world. We've lost our way. Is that another way to look at it? Do we value that vine of Jesus that gives everything to us? And again, this is you and God staying connected to Jesus. That's what a branch is. It's not pruned if it's producing fruit. If it's being vibrant and a part of the vineyard and part of the plant that grows, it is a necessary thing. And God nourishes that through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, staying connected. When we stay attached to the vine, we can experience God's love, protection, and provision. What does connected look like in your world? What does that look like? Staying connected. And I just jot down a few notes. Read and study the Bible. And I'm not saying how often, I'm saying read and study the Bible. Pray. Some people pray in the morning, some people pray at noon, some people pray all day, some people pray right before they go to bed. Prayer is another part of staying connected to the vine. Offerings. And they can take on any form. I'm not talking about just strictly money. Relationships. Are they important to you? Do you invest in those? Jesus is invested in you in a relationship that he wants to develop to the far beyond anything we can imagine. Staying connected. Time with God. What's that look like? I don't know. Everybody's going to have a different perspective on time with God. Time with Jesus. Maybe it's stealing 5 minutes away from everybody and everything, and you're just quiet. Maybe it's talking for that 5 minutes, but I hope there's some listening involved too. You know, we've talked about the still small voice. That's God on your heart, speaking to your heart. That's part of that staying connected to Jesus, part of being a part of that vibrant plant in God's vineyard. This does not mean a charmed life. I want you to recognize that. Where nothing bad ever happens. You know, we live in a fallen world. The enemy is very vibrant and very real. And things bad happen. Do they take you out? Or can you rely on God? Because of that relationship with Jesus, know that, okay, this too shall pass. It may not pass the way I want it, but it too shall pass. And I trust that Jesus has the absolute best in mind for me. Rather, it means a life of faith, hope, and love, even when bad things do happen. And you're going to hear a lot over the next few months and years about faith, hope, and love. These are three venues that our denomination is, you know, looking at. And we're going to drill down into each one and understand that when bad things happen, we have faith and hope and love to carry us through because of that connection that we have, you have with Jesus Christ, that personal connection. You know, Jesus in the Bible and God, he loves to share the stories of those who stay connected to the vine. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, as it's called in the Bible, is filled with stories of the faithful. Abel. Remember Abel? Gave his life up because his brother killed him. Enoch. Noah. Wouldn't you have loved to have been out there building a boat in the desert when it hadn't rained? Nobody knew what rain was, and yet he's building an ark. There's a fair amount of faithfulness in what God was doing in his life. Abraham, father of the faithful. Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David. These are all listed in Hebrews 11, along with untold others. The things that they did they live a charmed life when nothing bad happened? Read their story. No. In some cases, they were killed, persecuted, even talks about sawn in two. I can't imagine what that would have been like. But they were faithful to the vine, to Jesus Christ. They knew what was getting them through every day, even when bad things happened. God doesn't promise us a life without difficulty. Some of you are experiencing more difficulty than you've ever had in your life. Some of your family members are experiencing difficulties. You're faced with decisions that you don't really want to make, but you have to because it's needed. What's the constant? Jesus Christ. If you are staying connected, if you are saying, you are the vine and I'm a branch and I don't want to be pruned, I want to be producing the fruit that you designed me for. I don't know what that looked like, God. You do. Give me the wisdom and the strength. Speak to me. Speak to my heart and tell me about me. Not in a big circle of friends, but about me. Jesus is the vine. You are one of the branches on that vine. As long as you stay connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ, not allowing work, family members, disease, elements of this world, flood, drought, refrigerator breaking this week, air conditioner quit. The electricity went off and boy, it got hot quick. Not allowing the weeds or the elements of this world to choke the life out of you. Again, this is you and Jesus Christ. This is between you, not anybody else in this room. Is there something that it chokes Jesus out? And you go, I know it, but I really don't want to deal with it right now. Deal with it right now. Be a part of that branch that is producing awesome fruit. That glorious joy of knowing what that is. Stay connected. Where is my focus? Jesus Christ. Where is my connection? Jesus Christ. Is that what comes to your mind first and foremost? Jesus is my, and you fill in the blank. Ultimately, it's your connection to God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the perfecter of your faith. As you live your life, become laser focused on Jesus, because he is on you. There isn't any part of you that he isn't completely and totally drilled down into and focused on. There is no surprises that you have for Jesus. He knows you better than you know yourself. Wouldn't it be awesome to get that connection to getting that much bigger, that much better, to producing what Jesus put you on this earth for? And you may be right in the middle of it. And that's awesome. Don't let the elements of the world, the society, the bills that maybe come in at the inappropriate time, don't let anything take you from that focus and that laser focused of Jesus Christ. He is our vine. He is my vine. Be that producer of what God has in mind for you. If you bow your heads. Loving God, the imagery you give us in so many verses of the vineyard points directly to Jesus Christ as our vine, the branches of which we make up. God, we ask that you would produce the fruit that you have planned, that we can be willing to make whatever is necessary to be that strong connection, to lead in our laser focused to you. God, I thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you for your love for each one of us. And I ask that you would bless and watch over. In Jesus' name, amen.